was with me this morning. So recently, my wife Ann and I adopted 3 kittens. They were rescued from a shelter in Louisiana and brought north to be adopted. And yes, they are adorable, and I'll be glad to show you pictures during the coffee hour. I have learned a lot by watching these little creatures, all of 3 months old. We've bought them lots of new toys, but I think the toys are more for us than they are for them. Cardboard boxes work just fine. Thank you very much. But when they are hungry, they meow. And when they eat till they're filled, and then they stop, even if there's food in the bowl. They seem to trust that there will be more food for them when they get hungry again. And when they want affection, they just jump into our laps. And when they're done, they leave. They know exactly what they're hungry for. So in both of our lectionary scriptures today, they have something to do with the need for food, and both of them mention bread. Elijah wanted to die, so God sent him messengers with food. Here, eat something, right? And John quotes Jesus as saying, "I am the bread of life, and I am the living bread that comes down from heaven." And his readers hear the connection between what Jesus is offering and the manna that saved their ancestors, but are confused by the living bread. So let's look at the 1 Kings passage first. And I should say that you have been spared all of the background because I always practice my sermons on Anne. And when I got done with the first draft, she said, "No one needs to know that whole story. They can look it up." And I want to tell you, it's a very long story. 1 and 2 Kings are part of the historical books of the Hebrew Bible. And so together with Joshua, Judges, and Samuel, these books provide a theological analysis of the failures and the declines that make up the history of God's people. I suppose, as we often say in my disciple class, these books could be summed up by saying, Israel, God's people, sinned, and then God forgave them, they repented, and then they sinned, and God forgave them, and they repented, and so on. So there are a number of prophets who try to intervene, and of all of these, one of the most important is Elijah. So what's happening to Elijah in this story? Why is he longing for his own death? Now, Elijah is a prophet, and it bears mentioning that prophets in the Hebrew Bible don't predict the future. They act as voices of God telling people the consequences of their behavior. So if you continue in this way and don't repent, this is what will happen. So it's a very long story about Ahab and Elijah, but at the very end, I'll just tell you what happens at the end, which is where we find him. Elijah is a prophet sent from God to warn the people that if they don't stop sinning, there will be a drought. Their sinning involves worshiping Baal, another god. And sure enough, there's a drought, and it lasts for 3 years, which is a very long time, and then it comes to the end through the actions of God, through Elijah. And as a result of all of this, Elijah's life is threatened. And believe me, that's the short version. So, right before what Christy read, the verse right before, which for some reason isn't part of the lectionary, gives us a sense about Elijah. Verse 3 says, Elijah was terrified. He got up and ran for his life. And then we find him solitary under the bush and whatever. He's exhausted. He's depressed, and he says, Lord, take my life. He's done, but God isn't through with him yet. The messenger basically says, you need to eat whether you're hungry or not, because you've got a lot more work to do. Get up and eat, and you need to go to Horeb Mountain. Now, Horeb Mountain is called God's Mountain because that's where Moses received the Ten Commandments. And if you continue to read the story, you'll see Elijah continues to become the great prophet that he is. So bread and water appear, Elijah eats, he rests, he eats some more, and off he goes to continue God's work. This must have been some very special bread and water, because he went from wanting to die to being nourished and refreshed for 40 days and nights. Of course, we get the echo of the 40 days, very important number, right? So this wasn't ordinary bread. This bread nourished both Elijah's body and Elijah's soul. Now, let's look at Jesus' words about bread in John's story. Unlike the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, We don't get a lot of details about Jesus' life in John. Basically, John just wants us to know Jesus is God. And if you look at how the book begins, right, in the beginning there was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So John is saying Jesus is the Word, the Logos. And he seems to be saying, what else do you have to know? And actually, we need to know a lot more. Some think that John is one of the most difficult books of the Bible to understand, and perhaps it is. John is certainly different. As we, those of us who have been studying John in our disciple class, there's a different tone, there's a different emphasis, there's everything is different. And look at how he has Jesus talk. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And then later, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. What is Jesus talking about? And he reminds his listeners that your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness and they died. So the bread that Jesus is talking about is more than manna, more than bread. Christian Piatt, in his wonderful book, Surviving the Bible, says this about this passage. And I'm quoting him now. Jesus speaks often about the apparently unending cycle of seeking nourishment or bread and yet being hungry again later. He, Jesus, uses this phrase, bread of life, not to suggest that people who follow him never have to eat real food again. Rather, his message is that we can break free of the futile cycles of seeking and trying to use solutions from the world instead of turning to the spiritual wellspring that Jesus claims is the only way to quench those yearnings. End of the quote. Those futile cycles of seeking worldly solutions. Ah, Jesus is calling us on that magical thinking, that magical thinking that lets us think, if only I got a new job, if only I got that new car, if only I got that outfit that I see in J. Jill, and then I'll look like that model. Have you ever noticed that when you get it home and you put it on, you never look like the model? Or the new car gets a dent, or the new job is just as aggravating as the old job, maybe even more so. Do you ever notice how those things happen? What are we hungry for? You can certainly fill in the blanks. It's different for each of us, and yet it's the same for each of us. We forget that spiritual hunger can't be satisfied by material things. I want to say that again. We live in such a material age that we forget that spiritual hunger cannot be satisfied by material things. And that's what Jesus is saying to you. There's an old Cherokee story which goes like this. One evening, an old Cherokee told his grandson about a battle that goes on inside people. He said, my son, the battle is between two wolves inside of us all. One is evil. It is anger, envy, jealousy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. The other is good. It is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. The grandson thought about this for a minute and then asked his grandfather, which wolf wins? The old Cherokee simply replied, the one you feed. I think Jesus would have loved this story because to me, the bread of life is what feeds the good wolf. We are hungry for the gifts of the Spirit, for the gift of faith, wisdom, knowledge. And if you look at that list, it's almost as if the evil are the seven sins, right? Lust, and then the good are almost the gifts of the Spirit. It's one way to interpret this. And we are hungry for the gifts of the Spirit. We're hungry for the gift of faith, of wisdom, of knowledge. And just as my kittens have faith that they will be fed, we need to be reminded that God will provide. As God nourished Elijah, so Jesus provides us with the bread of life, Do we believe that Jesus is the bread of life? Are we hungry for these spiritual gifts? What are we hungry for? Amen.